I would like to remind all of ourselves to cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of all kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhicitta motivation or bodhisattva's attitude, that we should all participate in this teaching. As I regularly remind all of ourselves that it's very important for us to reflect upon the reasons why we need to cultivate or practice spirituality. In this regard, I would like to quote the words of great Indian Buddhist realized master scholar Acharya Chandrakirti in his supplement to the Middle Way, or called Madhyamik Avatar. He states, as Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, all sentient beings, without exception, are born from karmic actions. So just as Chandrakirti has said that different karmic actions have precipitated the lives of all sentient beings, or the rebirths of all sentient beings. In the same way, another great Indian Buddhist realized master scholar, Acharya Vasubandhu, in his Treasury of Knowledge, or Abhidhamma Kosh, states, again, Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, that all the diverse world systems or environments are the products of karma. So Vasubandhu also tells us that we see this great diversity among sentient beings and the environments that we live in. But all of that diversity we see is the result or the product of different karmic actions.
所以，那做不得，累累些不是，累几个天呢？是刚刚基本马来是，累累些不是，中国嘛都累几个，那他控制那些累几个，那罗那做不得，什么马来是？所以说，然后所以个，他们明白累累，有点点点的什么的。So
what these great masters are telling us is this: that sentient beings and the environmental worlds that we live in are the result or the outcome of karma. Of course, they are not saying that there's only one sort of a single universal kind of a karma that has resulted in this great diversity that we have among ourselves. As a matter of fact, there are multitudes of karmic actions, but the karma itself is very diverse, you know, multiple, if you will. So different karmas have resulted our rebirths and the worlds we live in.
So the ta lele ten shumres ta lele ten shumres ta in the lele ani kadi kasi manda ando kasi is na ta ta ni re give lele ta me give lele ta luma ten lele si yor ta luma ten lele ke debo give me kang kang tegi amares.
So if we go with that premise or the claim that sentient beings and the worlds that we live in or they live in are the result or the outcome of karma, then what are the types of karma that we as sentient beings do create? Broadly stated, we talk about two types of karma. We talk about positive karmas or wholesome karmic actions. And we talk about the negative karmas or the unwholesome karmic actions. Of course, there are what we call neutral karmas, karmas which are neither positive nor negative, but we really kind of don't worry about that much because they neither produce good results nor produce bad results or negative results. So we are more sort of, if you will, concerned with positive and negative karmic actions and the positive and negative results that they produced.
That thing is any juji senji dan any ada and then senji nesa ye nujinji ting tinga any pale elegant shores.
So I want to emphasize that both the environments and inhabitants within we call sentient beings and the worlds we live in are both are the result of karmic actions.
So that they are telling you, since you seem to be less a shiggy, since you see any sub in lake, debutita, run sources of debuting in those meteorites.
Now, also, we can look at karma in terms of two different aspects of the dimensions, if you like. There is what we call collective karma, and then there is individual karma.
So that when the that nothing you think the same thing, nothing you think Zambiling thinking is all attaining those in she little attaining is showing your race.
So now the world that we all share and we live in, this is, we say, a result or outcome of our collective karma.
What is that? Environment.
No, the world means the environment we live in, which is the result of our collective karma. So we have this, if you will, world that we share, and which is the outcome of our collective karma. But then within this world, each of us are living in different environments or situations, if you will, which are, outcomes of our individual karmas.
So that
So So it's really important for us to understand, you know, collective karma, individual karma, and how they produce different outcomes of the results. Now, it is very possible that there is, you know, tragedy, you know, in the world we live in, or the environment we live in, but we as individuals may not necessarily are affected by that tragedy, okay? So which are due to one's own individual karmas, you know? So it is possible that in the environment, you know, tragedies do happen, but for some, you know, as we can see, that not all individuals in the environment necessarily are affected by the tragedies or, you know, experience tragedies. So I think if you know, we look, I think we can find a number of situations to illustrate the points that I'm trying to make here. That in this world we do see all kinds of natural calamities, you know, because of these tremendous floodings. You know, a lot of people, you know, suffer. But given that, then there are, you know, individuals or people who are not really affected by such, you know, tragedies. Somehow they escape the whole situation. Or due to brush fire, so many houses get burned down and destroyed. But for some reason, somebody's house is just standing, you know, fine and is not really affected. Okay? Or because of tornadoes, you know, houses are completely blown out, right? But for some reason, some houses are just standing there, almost out of blue. So all these situations we see are, as a matter of fact, related to, as we say, collective and individual karmas. So each of us create and accumulate different karmas, and these karmas produce different results, and we as individuals experience the outcomes of our karmas. So personally speaking, an environment or a situation in which one finds oneself in or live in, that is related to one's own individual karma.
So
So at the present, you know, we as collective, if you will, are caught up in this tremendous financial crisis, right? Unprecedented financial, you know, crisis that has happened in our country. But given that, but there are, you know, many people who do not seem to be affected by it yet, you know. So there are many people, like, you know, whose businesses are going as fine or even better, you know, and it seems like this financial crisis doesn't affect their business and their standards of living. So we do observe, I mean, such differences among ourselves, even though we collectively, in some way, are dealing with the financial
crisis.
So the point I'm trying to make here, I think I hope it's clear to you, that, you know, it's because of individual karmas, you know, we also go through individual results and experiences of our karmas. and which are not shared, not necessarily shared by other people or, you know, others in the environment. But then we also have collective karmas, you know, to an extent we all may, how should I say, share the outcome of that karma.
Sanjay Chomdin dekha, ane le maje pata metes do ran son yores.
Our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha himself stated it very clearly in sutras when he talked about different aspects of the dimensions of karma, that if you do not create and accumulate karma, you are not going to experience it or their results. Okay, so if you don't create karma, you know, you don't have to worry about, or you know, or even you can hope to experience the result of that karma. So, I mean, in some sense, in the, as we can observe that, you know, karma is, you know, the karmic result seems to be quite concrete. You know, it's almost like we have things put on the palm of our hand, kind of clear cut, that if you do not create karmas, you know, there's nothing really to get confused with that. You are never going to experience the result of those karmas you don't create.
So, sir. Ngaranso ta ngaranso debut chibut chamalo rang ge le gwasa ne te sumba ta tamba higeres.
So because karma is so important and this is what is really affecting our life, so we often talk about, as I emphasize this point, that to have good, so we have to create good karmas. Okay, if you don't want bad, do not create the bad karmas. So based upon our own personal life experiences, that at times that other people seem to be fine, but we as individuals are affected by, you know, negative situations, you know. So it's like everybody seems to be fine, but I'm in really trouble, problematic situation. Why? Because these are the outcomes of one's own karmic you know, actions. This is what we need to recognize and understand.
So that and this one, sir, ngaran so chudre at the tuitadne chudre at the tak kichu machagur.
So I think it's in this regard, you know, cultivating or practicing spirituality is very important, you know, in our life.
Kare sina ge le gavas yena debi devan jungu yori le mi gavas yena debi dunghe nyu chesta ti mara su chu dre te ti ge gidi ge pangla chi ge ta pang go pa pang su lang go te ne an du sin ne pangla chi ge chi bu chal ge.
So as we talk about cultivating or practicing spirituality, what really it is, you know, about is from through spiritual you know, spiritual education or dharma education, if you will, that we learn about what are the positive actions that we should accumulate, or we should create and accumulate, and what are the negative actions that we must not do, that we should abandon. So based on our education of Dharma or spirituality, then we learn about how to conduct our lives according to the Dharma principles, if you will. So because we want all the good things happen to us, so therefore we need to create and accumulate positive actions. So that's part of our Dharma practice, if you will. Because we do not want any negative outcomes or problematic situations, we must not do the negative karmic actions, which is also part of our dharma cultivation or practicing dharma.
Yes.
All our experiences and outcomes are, you know, direct results of the kind of karmas that we create and accumulate. You know, we cannot somehow think that, you know what, I have nothing to do with karma, and I really don't need to do the good things, but then still I could have good results. No, I mean, that's just impossible, okay? To have positive outcomes, we need to create positive karmic actions. And so everything is related to our good and bad karmas.
zonza ngaranzo deni xeni ane sewa zangbo le karse mi mi ta la kompatre thogun dun thumi thogun ane ngaranzo me gele saj me haber ta gele mangu chsang gu.
Now, the karmic actions that we create are not only related to our experiences of this lifetime, both good and bad, but also what we will experience in our future lives. You know, if we would like to have fortunate rebirths, you know, such as the one we have now, precious human rebirth, then we have to create positive karmas. You know, if we would like to have to be born as a divine beings, as we say, celestial beings or you know, devas and devis, then we do need to create positive karmic actions.
Ding gobo lu du ke mege le sana ani nge ro ta ge le den ro tham ji dos mege wi rang mege le sa wi na ti na mi te ta nya wa ti da tin ro shi ge ka na.
As great Indian realized sage scholar Ajare Nagarjuna has stated clearly, and Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, that happiness and peace and all these good things arise from positive karmic actions, whereas the unhappiness and the problems and all such things arise from negative karmic actions. And so if we would like to have, you know, if we do not want, let's say, we do not want to be reborn in any unfortunate states in the future, such as hell, hungry ghosts, and lesser animal world, then we should not create negative karmas, according to Nagarjuna.
And so that me give late kandichi ina samte khegur mato le me give late kandichi mi ha magonate ane tu
So in order to stop creating negative karmas or to abandon negative karmas, of course, first we have to educate ourselves, you know, about the karmas. If we have no idea what negativity means, what negative karma is, or what negative karmas are, well, then forget about, stopping negativities or abandoning negativities, because we are just clueless.
Tati ngaranzu mambu he charis mambu koran chuchranzu mambu koye chiris yena ya lale mata enta dus debi na ani ngaranzu tenda skida khabu mundu ase.
So we we have talked about this so many times, and you have heard about this in 100 times or more. But then in this case, like, if we know something about this karmas, it is very important and essential, actually, for us to apply the teaching to ourselves or to follow the teachings. But if we never follow the karmic principles, well, then, you know, nothing is really going to change, or nothing, then we can't expect good things happen.
Mambo yore ta tingi, mige chibu, mige kyu yore ta tingi nangyi, ta le labo rizan tangbi na ranga lu ta nga ta yi sumbu tigi. Senji yin naya chik, kunzil mewa zoya, naya siya chik ta. Tene chik samnu tangya ta le chi shegi du na, ta ti mige yore chagu yore.
Negative karmas are just innumerable, but we often talk about 10 what we call negativities of body, speech, and mind. But in a very sort of a simple, to put it very simply, when we talk about negative karma or negativity, what we really mean is, if our actions of body, speech, and mind, these three actions we can do, hurt or harm others, so such actions are to be understood as negativity or negative karmic actions.
Tetini ki rang lu ta nga ta yi su bu te yi na ne ba che bi na ti je bu te ne ta rang du ngi ta te du ngi ke ne ta na re ne su na che gyo.
So if we harm others physically, verbally, mentally, all of the above, then as a result of these harmful actions, which are negative actions, we will experience negative outcomes or the results in the form of suffering, problems, and in the form of unfortunate rebirths, in the form of finding ourselves in a very difficult environments and situations.
Ta ti lo so rang ke ani lu ta nga ta yi su bu te ti ani pe ju ta ni ye na pen to du na ye na ye ga bu te mi ke che che gi a mare ye na pe pen to chen bu yong du na ta te ge le cha ge je ta rang le de de wan jung ge.
On the other hand, if our actions of body, speech, and mind are really truly beneficial to others, then these actions are positive karmas, and this will bring positive outcomes. So when we say that actions truly benefiting others, it doesn't necessarily mean that we try to do everything that pleases others. You know, pleasing others may not necessarily be beneficial or even positive. Okay? But actions which are truly and beneficial to others are positive actions, and we get positive outcomes out of them.
That tende chumbi na anta gor yen le pe ninji sheta ane dung yen sengi dungi ganangi le ninji sheta ane umpo ke tende thongdi zan tenzo le ane pe ane shamba shen de kunzo dewa de de na nyambi kemaro nyamba ke tende sem sheta ba tang e ba di.
So if we truly want to benefit others, I think what follows from that kind of a wish that we have is that we would like to cultivate love and compassion for other beings. As we see others in difficult situations and in suffering situations, we truly wish them to be out of such suffering, such situation, to be free from suffering, which is called compassion. As we see people in a difficult situation, poor and needy, we truly wish them to find, resources and wish them the best of everything. That kind of wishing is called love. So this is how, we are able to cultivate such positive states of mind, love and compassion, to and for others.
That tendeke hingi tan shamba jimbute, hingi de shamba jimbute, ane senje tamje le mipe, shore zam mahimpe, senje tamje le mipe yinna, that tiba jimbi chun doge.
So now if we expand, if you will, the scope of this love and compassion to include every sentient being. So basically, we are not biased towards any particular beings or category of beings. I mean, we would like to treat everybody equally, and we wish everybody to be free from suffering, which is a great compassion. And we wish everybody to be happy, to be endowed with peace and happiness, which is great love. So this is how we are able to cultivate Mahakaruna, great compassion, and Mahametri, great love.
Rana, to never think it, Gina, and never think it, Gina, we should just never think it, Gina, they rank, they miss Kurni, they serve, and they say, Tom Hill, maybe he get on Shambashit, which never sound tongues.
So as we cultivate, great love and great compassion, maybe we need to, focus especially on those beings, who are very challenging. In other words, that there are beings who are, unkind to us and who are maybe nasty and, troublemakers. So we really have to pay a special attention to them, and we have to include them in our compassion. We also want to make sure that we wish them also to be free of suffering. But when that is a challenging part, so with that special attention and effort, then we wish everybody else also to be free from problematic situations, which is called great compassion. In the same way, this unkind, nasty, beings, we pay special attention to them, that wishing them to be happy, to find the real happiness that they are seeking. With that special attention and focus, we also try to wish everybody else to be, happy. Mm. So this is how we cultivate greater love.
Sengkiala, maybe shuri, panggubat hirakai chambri, kanga kikba sanu matang vashi, अने शोरी शेयर बंदा ते अने निजी शेयर तां संभव शेयर तां अने उन्हें कोमासी आले से पाची छंब चागुरस.
So we really do need to work with our mind and counteract our biases, biased attitudes, prejudices, discriminations, and all of that. So we do hold, biased attitudes towards certain people or beings, then it is really impossible to cultivate, great love and great compassion to and for everybody else. Because we need to transcend, if you will, our biased attitudes, our prejudices, and our discriminatory attitudes respect and treat everybody equally.
That is the point of saying that Rang Lan Dwe Cha Shuk Chenpo Yuen Na Dwe Cha Ti Yen Rang Lan Nye Wa Tang Ani Rang So Rang So Chin Zin Rang So Chin Zin Dwe Cha Kung So Chin Zin Da Ti Yen Yen De Pe Yen Chi Cha Yung Gwa Cha Chan Sem Yung Tu Gwa Ma Re Cha Chan Dwe Cha Ti Chi Ta Ke Shuri Pang Ba La Ani
Let me give you a specific example here. When we talk about biased attitudes or states of mind, let's talk about attachment. In Tibetan, called dosha. So when we are influenced by attachment, or we let ourselves being influenced by it, then what we find ourselves doing is, we are already dividing people or the beings into categories. These are the dear and near ones. And so we, and then these are not dear and near because these are the other, group there. So we already made categories here, what we might call in-group and out-group, right? The people who belong to your group and people who belong to somebody else's group. So this kind of division and categories, and then being attached to the ones we call my group members or whatever labels we use, it doesn't matter. So we are attached to them and we do everything possible for them, whereas we discriminate against these others who belong to the out-group or this other group. See, so with this kind of division and biased attitudes, with attachment, we cannot love everybody equally. We cannot have equal compassion for everybody. So attachment, for example, is an obstacle. We need to to counteract it. We need to overcome its intensity, and we need to get rid of it.
That thing is that control the young. I just like to check. Because the control the young. Shon zin xie ne, ane dal dang wa xie te kontro wang xie yor.
So then we also have anger, another state of mind which is very destructive. So when we have anger, what happens? We direct anger to those we do not like, or we might call my enemies, or those others. And so we have those others, then we have these people on my side. So we already make camps here. My side of the people and that side of the people, and then we have hostility and anger directed towards them. So with this kind of biased attitude, state of mind, again, we cannot respect everybody equally and love everybody equally and have equal compassion for all. So when our mind, is influenced by these what we call delusions or the negative attitudes, attachment to the dear and near ones, anger and hostility towards, enemies and the people we don't like, then what happens in between? Then there are those who are neither our friends nor our enemies. Let's call them strangers or the neutral beings. Well, we don't care about them. Okay, so we just complete like, okay, whatever, you don't belong to any group or, and so this is how we abandon them, see, all together.
So that's the thing that we have to do with the Shamba Chamba Shale, that Kichi Yukari is in the thing that we have to do with the Shamba Chamba Shale.
So as we see how these negative attitudes, bias our relationship with other beings and how we perceive them and how we treat them, so in order to cultivate great love and great compassion, for example, we need to first train our mind and cultivate what we call balanced state of mind or sense of equanimity. Okay, or even-mindedness. We need to even out our mind, get rid of those biases. So once we have that even-mindedness or balanced state of mind, then it is easy for us to cultivate great love and great compassion for others. So what I want to say is that I started off today that law of karma, and its relevance to us personally, these are really important things that we should really reflect upon and follow the karmic principles accordingly.
No, that is all. And that single me that shuri single same yombaji.
And then another important one I made is that we need to cultivate a sense of equanimity or balanced state of mind so that we are able to overcome our biased attitudes towards sentient beings, so that we are able to treat them equally.
Shurik rang jule singele mi shurik shurik loti yena ane nyiji chemo ta chamba chembu shi agle kelche do waste ha kosmos.
The reason is that if we hold any biased attitudes towards sentient being, just like I was explaining to you, due to attachment, due to anger and other negative attitudes, when we divide people and beings into groups and categories and camps, and then we treat them differently, then there's no way for us to experience, to cultivate great love and great compassion. So I know most of you have heard these things many times before, but I'm just kind of I talk about them more as a reminder of things that we really need to reflect upon. As it is very unambiguously stated in the Lamrim treatises, that it is not enough to know Dharma, but we must put into practice. I mean, Lamrim just kind of nails that into our brain, and this is what we're talking about. Yes, we need to educate ourselves about Dharma, because without knowledge, we are just in ignorance. But once we know it, that's not the goal, that's not enough, but now we need to apply the knowledge, or we need to put the knowledge into practice.
That the lamrim changpa jamare chue che ba jan de mare chue nyam sa lang gres ka na ya te da je tam ba che je zaw ngom lu du ni pa ba thom ni sin ma che ni rim be ani ta kon na ba zo sung ya res te nga ran sol pe la je chim bu ki re ma su je ji mun du te.
And I just quoted Lamrim to make the point that it's not enough to know Dharma or Dharma principles, but we must apply them to our life, or we must integrate them into our life. We must cultivate them or practice them, so put them in action. Okay, this is while this is not something just the Lamrim says. Of course, if we look through all the teachings from historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha, that's what he said. And what did Nagarjuna say? He said, yes, put the teaching into practice. What did other masters say? Same message. Everybody said that Dharma knowledge needs to be put into practice. So application or the practice, cultivation is the most important thing once we learn about Dharma.
Honest. That is that gudindang hema telete santong shwe spend de tambu de no. Ani ngaraju ta mi lutin dik thola tu ta de ne de ci ma jis ka de na swas.
So did you find time to reflect upon the things we talked about last week, you know? For example, so we learn that even though we are very fortunate to have found this human life, but don't think this is our permanent address because this life will snap one day. There's nothing mystery about that. And so just to make a permanent home here is an illusion. So don't do that.
That this in the Tendi sanu tang, si tu ta ni pe doyak sanu tang na shun kari es na, ko doyak ta kachin zhen ta, diwa tila ten diwa me diwa mangbu sayung kari es.
So what's wrong if we say, you know, this is my permanent home and address, you know, I'm a human being and this is my, you know, home, permanent home and address. But what's wrong with that is, then we have this grasping at permanence of life and things, you see. So when we have that grasping, then what it really does is, it always makes us to plan everything to live. You see, we never think about anything else because everything leads to the same thing. I will be here forever and therefore I need this, I need that. Just every action planning has just to do with this life. Yeah. And then after all, this life is not permanent.
That thing is not permanent. And then, Pungbula rang pungbudre ane hieni chaju amaris kana sumas.
And then another thing we learned was that we must not cling to or get attached to our body or our aggregates.
Ante juma nangi kere chaju meva kare sana juma kengi juma sheba nangi chaju yores. Ko su trubne yam pa meva kol lansan roe kere sda.
So the reason why we must not get attached too much to our body is because our body is just like a magical creation. Okay? Just as a magician uses different things to create his magic, and then he can dissolve the magic, and magic, the show is over. In the same way, this body, you know, has come into existence due to its causes and conditions. But then there will be other causes and conditions which will, if you will dissolve this body, you see, this body will end, you know, at a certain point of time. And so it's exactly like a magical creation. It has a duration, you know, it's not a fixed and permanent. So therefore, we must not get attached to our body.
The one can it at around re and then make you lay not so big that thing somewhere.
So when we say don't get attached to the body, of course we are not saying don't take care of your health or, you know, body. We're not saying that. But you know, getting attached to the body is a negativity, is a delusion. And out of that attachment, what also happens is we solidify our self-grasping at the independent self or inherently existent self, which doesn't exist anyway, but we do grasp at it. And then due to self-grasping, we find ourselves involved in many other negativities. So this is how we get caught up in a vicious cycle here. You know, we don't see a way out, but we are just kind of caught up in the quagmire. Remember,
the master
said that nothing exists in and of itself. When we think about phenomena by definition means something that exists. Okay? If something doesn't exist, then, you know, we don't worry about that, you know. But everything that exists does not exist objectively from its own side or in and of itself. Okay, and so that kind of existence is not there, which is called inherent existence or objective existence. So including self, including ourselves, nothing in the world exists in and of itself.
That's why I'm talking about the ane nyingi shes ane shamba shes.
And then we talk about how we should cultivate compassion and love for sentient beings based upon the fact that they have not yet realized emptiness. Okay? So sentient beings have not yet realized emptiness as it is, so we use this as a ground or a reason to cultivate love and compassion for them.
Sengye ene tonye matope kansa tenzu ta kowa tange so dunge na chopa ji kore nele dunge na chopa ji non gobe kare ese na tomba ni matope wanke ene lenga basa ti wanke te shebre so chate kanta tenzu dunge tali tan sambi ta samba chuta bu shee ji go rez ka nang
lo. So how is this emptiness related to, or realization of the emptiness related to, cultivating love and compassion? The reason why sentient beings are trapped in samsara, cyclical existence, and going through round and round in samsara with all kinds of multitudes of suffering, it's just precisely because they have not realized emptiness as it is. Because that realization will show the way out of samsara. And because of not having realized emptiness, so sentient beings are caught up in ignorance about the ultimate nature of phenomena and being influenced by delusions, we create negative karmic actions and which trap us again in samsara. So with this kind of perspective on the situation in which sentient beings find themselves in, then we wish how nice it would be if sentient beings are free of their ignorance or realize emptiness and get out of samsara and suffering. So we wish them to be free from suffering in its causes, which is the compassionate feeling.
No, that any time I did some work, I see Shiva Tinja Kosan Titan Limimigo. A chair do great, chair do balata, Nito Shiva, the Sundu, shoot up a shagrace, that you might kill you, chair do yam, the end, and Nimanis Madubashi, young detective do yam, do you kaki you give it, the Nishi German, pay truthy. Chujin the truth judges and in that cook Taba Jugu was when the Jukuki in a Jukit Nikina. Until 19, it's only Chuji Tango race.
Then we have learned that we need to develop courage and enthusiastic perseverance in cultivating our Dharma, doing our practice. So which really means is that we shouldn't get too overly excited and enthusiastic to practice for a day, and then we drop the practice for the next few days, and then we will pick up a day to do that again. Or that, for a week, we are so enthusiastic in our practice, for the next 2 weeks it's dropped out of sight, and then we somehow pick it up. Not so inconsistent like that. Just like we say, if you watch the brook or the river flowing, it flows very quietly and consistently. See? So we need to cultivate enthusiastic perseverance. We call Chundu in Tibetan, just like the flow of the river. It just continues. There is no interruptions, in between. No kind of breakups in between.
Oh no, that ring is Sabbath day. Gishi kara gomchung shengri shensena jaji temba yishi zungchi giyu shinyi la shushi shen shushi shen bes ane anas jaji temba yishi zungchi atega ane gishi kara pala ya ane chuji naro nansi ya shuyas.
So that was what Geshe Benkunjin had to say last time, right? Now we have another Kadamba Geshe by the name of Geshe Kara Gomchen. He was asked a question by another.
Marida. Jelj Temba Yishik Kara Gomchen Pashubir.
Hello, okay. Let me do it again. Jelj Temba Yishik, another master, so he was having this conversation, telling this to Kara Gomchen.
Tere tere gishi shin choran jeve chen ngala ne chuki naru nas ya hyurta.
So he said, it is so wonderful and fortunate for me to be able to meet you, so I would like to ask for a teaching. So Geshe Khara Gomchen said, all right, okay, I'll do that. But there are three things that I want to talk about in terms of practicing Dharma. So there are three what are called things involved, we call method of practicing Dharma. So I think basically Geshe Khara Gomchen said there are three different ways of practicing, which would relate to three different levels of practice, if you will. And he said, okay, let me talk about the most basic one. You know, if you can't do much, you know, anything else, that's almost the assumption. That is the assumption, actually, not almost. Then he said, you know, try not to hurt anyone. Don't harm anyone. So I think we need to really keep this in our mind. So in our case, you know, we, you know, see that, okay, I, you know, don't have much time, I can't do meditation, I can't do retreat, I can't do this, so I don't have much time to all of those things. Well, then, in which case, at least we say, in the morning we get up, rise up from the bed, we make a commitment that today I'm not going to do anything, say anything, think anything to that is harmful and, you know, hurtful to others.
That never misses.
So, you know, basically means, you know, we rise up in the morning and we tell ourselves, I'm going to see that my actions of body, speech, and mind do not bring harm to others today. So this is, I mean, this is how we begin our day. So if you do that, you know, according to Khara Gomchen, he said, well, you just, you know, have fulfilled the least qualification of being a Dharma, you know, Dharma person, practitioner. So I think that this is, I mean, this itself is a very important message, you know, or lesson for us. So that's why His Holiness the Dalai Lama, you know, often reminds us during his public teachings or, you know, audience, that he said, you know, if you can't help others, please don't harm others.
No,
you know?
that's it.
It comes to the same point here. I mean, this is what Shakyamuni Buddha has got to say to us. This is what the other great masters have got to say to us. He said, you know, if you can help others, great, do that. Even if you can't help others, you know, but don't harm them. So as I said, Khara Gomchen, you know, he said there are three ways to practice Dharma, and as these three ways relate to three different levels. So what he just first said is the very basic one, right? We can't do anything else, but at least, you know, we, you know, make a commitment that we are not going to you know, do anything that brings harm to others. But then the next level, which is higher level, called intermediate level, if you will, is that You know, not only do we commit ourselves not to harm others, but we also develop this strong motivation to bring benefits to others. And with that motivation, we also try through actions to benefit others. So if we do that, then we are like at the intermediate level practice, or a practitioner of or at the intermediate level. So then how do we benefit others? If this is where we want to be at this level, or this is the way we want to follow to benefit others, in the case of bodhisattvas, they benefit sentient beings through what we call the actions of six parameters or perfections, right, from generosity to the wisdom. And then there is what we call 4 points of gathering and measuring the minds of sentient beings. Again, a whole mouthful for a translator to say it. So through those methods, the six perfections and the 4 points, let me simplify it, otherwise, you know, I will be... So of course we can't go into every thing we just said here, but let's say in the case of generosity or giving, dan, practice, we could give material gifts, we can give make the gift of dharma. So through these different gifts, if you will, giving, that we are able to benefit others. So when we talk about giving, you know, of course we have a lot of things to give, or you know, that's great. But you know, don't kind of get bogged down in one's mind that, you know what, I have nothing to give, really. You know, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have many things to give. No, the giving has to do with really letting go, as we say, that you know, if you see a really hungry person, let's say, and you just have a mouthful of food to share with. But if you truly out of a generous mind give it, right, share that, it's just a mouthful. In terms of amount, there was nothing in it, but that is a true giving. Okay, so in a sense, we do not necessarily have to have a lot of resources to be able to practice the perfection of giving. So of course, when we talk about practicing giving, it is giving to others. Now, the others are not just human beings. Of course, we can give to humans, but the others also include animals and other beings. Well, if you see like hungry birds or animals, something like that, and you have a piece of a bread, well, the best thing is if you can give the whole thing, right? That's wonderful. But you say, no, no, I need to eat too. Okay, then just break a piece out of it, and that could be half or quarter or whatever piece of the bread, and you give it to the needy birds or the animals. And so that is a giving. That's a practice of generosity.
Oh, that is this. Say gobala, say good gobala, good. Ah, that and that Jimbatang Mambu was the church Jimbatang.
So we could give food and drinks to those who need food and drinks. We could give clothes to those who need clothes, and so these are all different ways of helping others. Then of course we can make the gift of dharma.
Saya jumpa tang. Tapi tadi itu le, tu jumpa tu. Ane yang bermas. Tapi cuci, cuci ane pe tak payah kuras. Nanti je ane pe tak, cuci, cuci pa, cuci zaman tak mungkin ke jin na. Ante ni cuci ane payah kuras. Payah kuras ni cuci mewah sih, sih tu betul na. Ane yang bermas cakuras.
We are talking about what is called the four points of gathering and measuring the minds of sentient beings, right? Because it's called Duyeng Wobushi in Tibetan. How nice to have such a short version, having to repeat like two long sentences 100 times is quite a challenge. But anyway, that's my problem, I guess. So through giving, you know, we gather people, right? When you help others generously, people are attracted to you and they listen to you. Okay, so this is how Bodhisattvas use generosity as a way to get people, you know, close by and benefit them. The second point is called Nyembarmava, which literally means, speaking pleasantly, pleasant speech, if you will. And what really this means is, once you have the attention of the people, you have generously benefited them, now they are really attentive to you, so then you can share Dharma. Okay, especially the benefits of the Dharma, right? People who are clueless about Dharma. So if you can tell about the importance and the benefits of the Dharma, and if they develop interest in Dharma, so this is what we call speaking pleasantly. And Nyembarmava, this is how you benefit them as well. So you're really not giving Dharma teaching per se, but you are sharing the benefits of Dharma. You say, you know, what are the advantages of taking interest and practicing Dharma? And if they get inspired and they get interested, this is what we're talking about. So then the next third point, we're talking about the four points here, is Dunjaba means now you really guide them, if you could, spiritually, or you really, this is where, teachings. So now the fourth point is, as we say, whatever you, share with others, this is what you should also be practicing. So as you would say, practice what you preach. You know, just can't go on telling others to do this and that, and then oneself excuses from the whole thing. So it's like, just as you tell others, these are the important things to do, so then this is what you should be doing, or we should be doing.
So that and So
these are also different ways of benefiting benefiting others or sentient beings. So that's why when you go through the sort of the laundry list, they're benefiting others through giving. It's just like, give food to those who need the food, give shelter to those who need the shelter, give clothes to those who don't have clothes, and so on. So that's about what we call intermediate level practice on how to be a practitioner at that level. That not only do we commit ourselves not to hurt or harm others, but we generate strong motivation to benefit others in every possible way, and then we try to put that into action. Now, the one more level of that, if you want, which we may call it advanced level, according to Kala Komchen, is the best kind of practitioners, Chöpa Rab, the best, best and the brightest here. As it is really reflect on or meditate on the emptiness, you know, nature of both self and others. And so basically that both self and others and everything that exists is empty of inherent existence. So things are merely existent. They exist as mere labels, as we would say. You know, that's all there is to it. Who we are and who everybody else is and what everything else is, it's just a mere label. You know, there is no real inherent substance in any of us. So this is how the best practitioners, they reflect on and meditate on the emptiness of inherent existence.
No, no.
So then if you want to be the best among the best, so to speak, in these practitioners, then we need to, cultivate bodhicitta, which is the altruistic state of mind, seeking enlightenment for the sake of everybody else. And so we integrate bodhicitta with the wisdom realizing emptiness, and this is how we become the best of the best
practitioners.
So once we have bodhicitta or bodhisattva's attitude, you know, because bodhisattvas care about sentient beings, and that's all there is, you know, they do. And so with that bodhisattva's attitude, the first two things that we talk about, the basic thing, not hurting others, that automatically comes, right? If you have bodhicitta, you care about sentient beings, you are not going to hurt them. And because of your caring attitude, you want to benefit sentient beings in every possible way. So the two things we talked about at the basic and intermediate level are, you know, they come just automatically as we cultivate
bodhicitta.
So once you generate bodhicitta, right, we say that I want to become an enlightened being for the sake of all sentient beings. So in order to be an enlightened being, I need to get rid of the two mental obscurations. Obscuration to liberation called delusions, and obscuration to omniscient wisdom. And I need to get rid of these things. So to get rid of these two mental obscurations, I need to integrate bodhicitta with the wisdom realizing emptiness as it is. So through this integrated method, then I can become a Buddha, just as I would like to be for the benefit of everybody else. Mm-hmm. And this is how you really, augment your spiritual development and practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're going to stop today. So once again, I just want to remind all of ourselves to reflect on these three ways of benefiting sentient beings, or three levels of practice that Kara Komchen wants us to learn about. The basic one, not to hurt anyone. The intermediate one, additionally, to think of benefiting others. And at advanced level, we meditate on the emptiness of both self and others.
Mm-hmm.
I have some prayer requests. Two people have passed away, Mary Ann Taylor, and I hope I'm reading this right, Leo Nitra, and John Rinko is dealing with a health issue. So prayers are requested for them. Let's dedicate our collective marriage for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other holy masters, wherever they are in any part of the universe, live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality.
Last
but not least, we dedicate our collective marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all become Buddhas soon.
Guru Rinam Dalak Niyataya Amin.